Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you live here on this Thursday morning, April the 29th. 2021, 20 minutes past the hour, and it certainly is a morning of April showers. Telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Does anybody have anything to say in regard to what Sam Donaldson said this morning, or any of our other guests this week, really? We've had James Meredith on, we've had the mayor, we've had Effley Bailey, we've had Shecky Green yesterday. I know a lot of people were happy to see him or hear him back on the radio after his bout with COVID. He had COVID when he was 94, and now 95 years old. What a great pleasure it was to have Shecky back yesterday. And Sam Donaldson, who we had not heard for a while, back this morning. And I know that, and Sam would admit at this point, that he has a more liberal point of view. But somebody who's been in the news for as long as Sam, he just knows things about the people in Washington. He was there for a long time, and he knows who to go to get information. So even though his opinions, which I think you can distinguish from facts, are, as he would say, more liberal, I still think it's a valid guest to have on because I think we do get a lot of facts in an interview with Sam. Like, I think it's very interesting to discuss Biden's speech last night. Very interesting. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, good morning, Jeff. Scott.
Yes. Good morning.
Scott. Got it right. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. It's rainy, but I'm inside, so I'm okay.
You know, yeah, it's raining. We need the rain. Things is getting dry. But it's hard on the farmer. I was out yesterday traveling west, and you could see them big tractors a long ways by the dust. The dust is just, oh, Lord, it was blue. And it's dry, but this is hard on them getting their crops in. So, I don't know what's good or bad, so it's bad for the farmer, yeah. I'll say that because this is going to, the rain gets around real wet, well, you know, that'll put them back another week or so or whatever. Okay, now, a lot of things to talk about. And if you watched the president last night, I don't know, there's a lot of things that I agree with and a lot of things I disagree with, so I don't know. So, and they get back to, I was traveling yesterday, and I want to get back on the gas here just one more time, and then we'll go into politics or something else. I was west again yesterday, and the gas in Kenton, Ohio, that ain't very far from here. What is it, Doug? What is it, 69 up to 85, 285 here in town? This is Marion City. Now, Kenton was $2.54 a gallon. I mean, they probably get their gas made from the same thing that these guys here in town do. Which I just, you know, the last time I was on, that was last week sometime, and I said, I can't believe it. There's that much difference. And gas prices no further than that. A lot of other surrounding places probably cheaper than that. Why they got to, theirs has got to be that high? I wish somebody could explain that to me, why it would be that much higher outside of town than it is in town. And are you still there?
I'm here. You know, I think what they would say is they can charge more in Marion because there's a greater demand. It's not right, but I think that's probably why they do it.
Well, whatever, I guess. So, okay, that's my story. Sticks to the gas prices. I go out of my way when I go that way to get gas. You know, if I can save that much on a gallon of gas, but I'm going right by it that day, I'm sure not going by it in Marion, which I should, but I don't. I mean, them guys at Kennedy, they're making money off that gas. Gotta be here, they couldn't sell it. These guys here make a killing. Well, they don't have to make a killing off of me if I go that way over there. So, now, get back to the politics. Scott, the minimum wage or a $15 wage hike. I'm not saying that the workers need it. I'm not saying that. But it's going. I believe it's going to. It's going to make it hard on the people. I'm in the category where I never get a raise. If it is, it's a very few, you know. And every time, especially the rest of workers, every time they get a raise, it really makes it hard on me going to eat with them because, you know, the price of food is just skyrocketing, and then this wage deal is going to make it that much worse. I realize that the people, the workers needs to get a hike, yeah. But you got to look at the people that don't get one. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong, but a 40-hour a week worker should get $15 an hour, yeah. But these part-time workers are just off the street to work a week now and a week then and whatever, part-time. What do? They start right at $15 an hour? Would that be possible?
Well, I don't...
If they could get enough of them, these street runners, or what you want to call them, you know, these kids is not working full-time, if they can get enough of kids to run their organization at 10 or 12 or whatever, that's going to cut way back on these full-time workers. I don't know whether they're going to gain more or lose. You follow what I'm saying?
Well, I do, but what is odd to me about Americans in general, and I don't know if this happens other places around the country, you know, we really are, people say we're not a democracy, but we claim to be a democracy, and what's odd to me is that, forget the politics of this $15 minimum wage, the government is saying, you know, we want to, anybody who works will have to get $15 an hour or better, for doing work, because they feel that's the living wage. And America is the only country that I know of where people...
Hey, Scott.
Yeah?
It seems to me that you there are two of you there.
Oh, are there?
One of them I'm getting fairly plain, but now the other I can't understand. He ain't loud enough. Are you talking to two different mics?
No, I'm just on one mic here.
Now I can hear myself real plain.
Right.
But I now there right now I hear you real plain, but now.
Well, let's see. Is that been any better?
Well, yeah, you're some better, yeah.
Okay. Well, what I don't understand is. Yes.
I see. When you're answering me there, I hear you real plain. Now, you get back to you're talking about the politics out there.
Yeah.
They even went over and turned it up.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah,
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. What I don't understand is that the politics of this, you know, that doesn't bother me. But America's the only country that I know of.
Scott, I really don't know what's happening, but you're not very loud. I don't know why. Now, when you talk to me there right now,
yeah,
I can hear you good. Now, but when you go back, talk to politics, I hear you good now. For some reason, I can't hear you.
So
very good at all. I don't understand why. What's wrong here?
Can you hear me good right now?
Not very good, no.
Wonder what that's all about. Maybe we have a bad connection. Is that any better?
There you go. You're good.
Okay. What I don't understand is, aside from the politics of this all, America is a different country in that we're offering everybody $15 minimum wage, and the country is saying, no, don't give us that. It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, Scott, the 40-hour week person is full-time. You know, I could understand. I can understand in one sense way. They should get $15 an hour. But these kids that's out looking for these side jobs. You understand what I'm saying? And going to work, somebody that's not in business or figured on making a killing from these kids, if they probably could get cheaper, I don't go for that. But, now, for instance, if you need a kid to do some work for you, whatever, that you're not going to benefit by a bushel from this kid that you're getting fairly reasonable, cheap, you know what I'm saying? Now, I can't go along with giving him $15 an hour when he's not done the same thing that $15 an hour person's doing. Now, you take, for instance, if you had to have some work done, that wouldn't, made your job. Now, I can't see that you would have to pay or need to pay, or this kid figured on getting $15 an hour just coming out there and doing some odds and ends work for you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So if everybody gets $15 an hour, you can pick them up by the bushels on the street, and they don't even know what they're doing part of the time, or don't even know how to start. Now, can you see that being a $15 an hour person?
Well, probably not.
See, that's what I'm getting at.
But I think the
person that's in business, whatever, to make money or whatever, wrestlers especially. So, 40-hour week, yeah, full-time work for them people, yeah. But they pick up an awful lot of part-time work off of the street kids. Now, are they going to have to pay them? Are they expecting to get $15 an hour, come in there and start right out with $15 an hour? Now, can you see that?
Well, I don't, these companies, like McDonald's, who don't pay their employees a whole lot, I think that's where it lays. Because during this pandemic, a lot of people went to work in grocery stores and in fast food and put their life on the line, and they don't make a whole lot of money.
True. But Scott, there they go. They ain't got no full-time workers. That's what I'm talking about. They part-time. They got more part-time workers than I would say that any organization, any kind of event. Well, for instance, you take Perkins or Bob Evans. or these guys that's got full-time workers. Now, I can see that. But now you take these kids, comes in part-time off the street. Now, they cannot perform the duty that these full-time workers do. And they're going to have to pay them $15 an hour? Now, think about it. These people that's full-time that's been there, you've been these restaurants, been there a long time. They know what they're doing. They know how to do it. So you pick these three kids that's part-time, just comes in maybe 2 days a week, 3 days a week, or maybe not every other week or whatever. They can't possibly perform like them full-time workers do, and they go get $15 an hour. That will work. Is that the way it's going to be done or not?
Well, I think so, but I think the theory is, much like with these stimulus checks, that most people who were young and in the workforce did not put those in a savings account. They went out and they spent them. And I think the theory is that if they force these big companies who have the money, like McDonald's, like Meijer, like Walmart, to pay everybody $15 an hour, well, let's say you're making $10 an hour. Well, you probably spend $10 an hour in food, groceries, utility bills. Well, now that you got 15, you're going to spend 15. And that's more money in the economy. I think that's the theory behind it.
Well, you know, that's probably the way they're figuring it. Well, now, Scott, see, I've been in the workforce for years and years. Well, I've done that all my life. Well, we have journeymen, what you call a full-time skilled guy, pretty well. It was union, okay? You had to be pretty qualified to get into that category. And we also had apprenticeship that we take in, you know, newcomers. But you didn't get paid as much. See, and that should be the way with McDonald's or whoever it is, Bob Bell, whoever it is, these big restaurants, that's the way it should be with them, is work them kids. So they got up to where they could handle what the skilled workers was qualified to do. That's what I'm getting at. These unskilled workers cannot compete with a full-scale worker. I don't see that part.
Well, the thing
they'd
that
have
I
to spend the time of getting trained or whatever to order to get $15 an hour.
Well, the thing that
I mean, these people that's in business, Scott, you got to make them money. You got to perform to make them money in order to pay you. If they didn't do what you're paying this normal, this skill, $15 an hour, and they're not even, if you pick them up off the street, they're not going to perform near as well as the $15 an hour person that's been there a while. And these kids, whoever it is, okay, a man, woman, whatever, they cannot perform well enough to make that $15 an hour girl, that the bad woman, whatever it is, for this company, they're just not going to keep up with them, and they're paying them $15 an hour. I don't know how that would work, but there I can't see that happening. You know, so whatever. You're into, or whatever you haven't done, if you've got a skilled person to do it and you pick one up off the street, you can't possibly pay that guy the same price as the one you've had maybe for years or done something. So, that's the way I'm looking at it. I may be wrong, but that's the way I would look at it.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because clearly President Biden wants this to happen.
Yeah. Well, my hat's off to our assistant, Joe Biden, talking about what he wants done and what he's going to try to get done. Scott, there's no way he's going to get what he wants done. But he says, doing nothing. We ain't going to get nowhere. We got to do something. We got to try. Let's put it that way. And if you don't talk about it, you ain't going to never get nothing done. So if he gets a half or two-thirds, he'd be doing outstanding. But we got to do something to try to get the country back in shape again. Same way with this virus. He's doing an outstanding job. Not just him, but the whole country's doing an outstanding job. We got to get back on track. We ain't near on track. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, the ones that never got out on the track is doing fine. But look at them, ain't on track with what's been going on the last few years. Especially this pandemic. We got to get back to getting back on track so we can associate with each other and go and speak to our neighbors, shake their hand, and neighbors, wherever you go. Scott, we can't do that no more. We haven't been for how long. It's getting a little better, but people's been off on track for, over a year now. And we've got to get back to like America's supposed to be, and we're far from that right now.
I think you're probably right. Hopefully we'll get there.
It's just too bad. I get so sick of not being able to go in and wherever I go and talk to people without. You gotta recognize them first. You can't recognize your friends with that bad gun mask on, and you don't want to get close to anybody, and vice versa. So I want to get back to normal, and I can talk to people. And when I talk to them, I want to prove I know who it is and whatever. That's what I'd like to see happening. And we get things going again, and even to your workers, you're about halfway scared of your fellow man, fellow woman, or whatever at your workplace that you can't associate like you used to, and blah, blah, blah. So I hope things just turn around, and I hope he does well, because our country needs what he's talking about, part of it anyhow. Get some of these organizations together, and like he says, we're all in this together.
That's true.
What you pay, I've got to pay. And if you make more than I do, you should pay more. Vice versa. I mean, if you've got a bushel of money, you should pay a your share. And we're all in this together. And hey, you know, in this, Let's be fair. I mean, if you've got a bushel of money, you should pay more than this guy ain't got any. So it would, money ain't no good unless it gets in circulation. If you've got a dollar to hang on to it, you just hang on to it and you ain't gonna get nothing out of it. It just hangs there. Spend it. Pay your share. I'll pay my share, whatever. So, hey, that's the way I feel about it, and I'm going to stick to it. I might be a hard-nosed whatever, but I believe in everybody. You've got to pay the same price I do. I got to pay the same price that the other person does. But if that other person got a bushel of money, he can afford to pay more. Well, since the guy ain't got no money, he can't pay nothing for it. So there we go. That's the way we got to look at it. I mean, that's the way it is. And, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Take care. God bless you, Scott. God bless you. I love to talk to you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
There you go. And your opinions welcome as well this morning. 740-383-9944, 45 minutes after the hour. We've got On the Air with Glenn Coble today, 10 a.m. till 12 noon. And then we've got Swap Shop today from 12:10 until 1 p.m. And then the Adam the Computer Guy show from 2:10 until 3 p.m. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Do you have anything to say about either of these subjects? Now, the two subjects we're talking about right now are the $15 minimum wage, which was brought up again last night in the president's speech, and still talking about gas prices. It's an interesting time, to say the least. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. You staying sufficiently dry out there?
So far, so good.
Is it raining?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, we need it, and anyway, I wanted to let folks know, I don't want to plug any businesses, but the Sheetz that just opened just east of downtown Delaware, if you have I got gas there. In fact, I've gotten gas there more times than I can remember, but with the credit card, I paid all of $1.96.9, 8 cents off the $2.04.9, and if you can put the 88 octane 15% alcohol gas, it's even less. Just my car, I stick to the 10%. I mean, they just opened, and other stations in Delaware are competing and honoring the 204 price, but Sheetz has some promotions. Get a Sheetz card, you can get a free fountain drink or coffee. Again, I brought this up before, but when these new businesses come to the area, they have promotions. And honestly, if you're in Waldo or South, it will end up on the positive side if you drive down there to get gas, especially if your car is a bigger fuel tank than I do. So, you know, the competition helps prices, and as the guy said, Kenton is the other direction, so they don't have quite the competition. And it's fascinating to study how gas prices are a function of what part of town you're in or what city you're in to begin with. And you might find a month later, another part of town will have good prices. But if you hunt a little bit, use OhioGasPrices.com and see where the best deals are. When I was there a couple days ago, Scott, I saw a guy who had gas, these portable gas containers in his trunk, and he was filling them up knowing how good the price was. And who knows how far away he was from. But it's fascinating, though, how that affects the economy. And just a little word of advice for our listeners.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Anything else interesting going on over there?
No, not that I can think of.
Yeah, good to hear, Shecky. I'm glad he's doing well. He sounded good.
Yeah, he sounded good.
Yes, as Sam says, I mean, he certainly is he's quite a bit to the left, but he's so knowledgeable. A lot of what he says isn't really on one end of the spectrum or the other. It's just an analysis. And considering his experience, I take what he says seriously, even though I may not agree with all the opinions. But his perspective, as someone who's been in the business and has talked to anybody and everybody, you can talk about an interviewer to the stars. It's certainly worth heeding, and it's good to have people like that on, and it helps to grow your own knowledge and your own opinions, and onward and upward. This $15 thing is going to be a source of controversy, and I would think it'll be one of the big news stories coming up.
I don't, you know, it's interesting because it's been mentioned twice now, and it's clearly something that the president wants to get done, and I don't know. You know, he's got the Democratic House, which I'm sure would back it. The Democratic Senate, I don't know. It's not so Democratic that I'm not sure if they would back it or not. I don't know. We'll see what happens. It would happen.
The $15 an hour, it depends on where you are, and that's what I don't think people understand, but it's so basic. I mean, you've been to New York recently. You know what things cost there. I mean, even look at gas. I mean, you know, cigarettes, goodness sakes, I'm there. They're probably $15 a pack in New York City, and here they're six or seven or less for the cheaper brands. And could you imagine what the dwelling that the station is in would cost, even in Staten Island or Brooklyn or a relatively less expensive part of New York City? It would be six figures, maybe seven. And versus the cost of living in Ohio, even in the big cities, even in the most trendy parts of Columbus, I would say it's less than a trendy part of Boston or San Francisco or New York or another notoriously expensive city. And $15 an hour in Marion, that's pretty good money. But in San Francisco or Boston or New York, not quite as much. And that's something I think we do need to grasp.
Well, I guess I'm, you know, if you're in Boston or you're in New York or you're in California, they can pay you the minimum wage now, which I'm, what is it, seven something? They can pay you.
Yeah, it's $7.85, but some states have their own minimum wage, which might be 10 or 12, but it can vary. It can override that. I think a city can also have its own minimum.
Right, but what I do know about Americans, much like with this stimulus, there were people who needed it, and there were people who didn't need it, but most, well, everybody got the first one.
Yeah, I got mine, and, you know, it wasn't something I needed to put food on the table. I'm not going to turn it down.
But that's, see, that's it. And what I know about Americans is I know 90% of us do not save. So I know that if you're making $10 an hour, you're going to spend it. And if you're making $15 an hour, you're going to spend it.
We do need good adulting skills and money management. And, you know, there are statistics. How many people live paycheck to paycheck? How many people are one missed paycheck away from being out on the street? And it's scary, because this is the land of opportunity. And you want to help people. I mean, it's what I call compassionate capitalism. But people do need to be responsible. And it doesn't matter. I mean, age, education, some very intelligent people just have money. My mom was, and may she rest in peace, she had issues with managing money. I remember after my parents' divorce, the money issues that she had, and as smart as she was and as street smart as she was, I to this day, Scott, can't even explain it. Sometimes money just seems to vanish into thin air, regardless of how smart somebody is. And that's one thing, it just doesn't discriminate people's problems with money management. And sometimes you put that carrot in front of them, or again, you write them a check, like with the stimulus. Is it going to help anything? Does it encourage bad habits? I'm not perceptive enough to know, but I think we need to get to the root of the problem of people managing money properly.
And I don't know if it encourages.
I don't know how to do that. I wish I had a magic wand too, but it's beyond my ability.
I don't know if it encourages bad habits, but I know if you go out and you spend your money at Walmart, that Walmart then will make more money, and they do tend to hire more employees because they need more employees working.
Yeah, it's like a lot of these memes about the self-checkout. I like self-checkout. I don't know why people. I think a lot of it is just joking around, but I prefer to check myself out. I don't have any problems with that. And they're talking about McDonald's will just hire robots because it's not in the budget to pay people $15 an hour. And, of course, it's more than $15 an hour. You're paying unemployment, you're paying insurance, health care, et cetera. So it's quite a bit more than that ultimately. But are we going to replace people with robots? Well, you don't have a $15 minimum. We'll see. You know, you got to cut through the hype, and every day we find out more. You know, it certainly will be an area of controversy, and there's so much polarization right now, one side versus another, and just the people like me, independents, just to make it a little more interesting. So
we shall see what happens.
No problem, Scott. Well, good show, and I look forward to hearing James next hour. He's bringing a visitor who is not a member of the species Homo sapiens, by the way.
Oh, well, that's
we
good.
Encourage people to listen. Cancel your plans for 10, 15 to 12. James is well worth listening. Learning about the great flora and fauna in this area, it's priceless. So I'll put in a plug for James. He's always a good guest and a great friend of the station.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Thanks, Adam. Have a good day, Scott. Thank you.
All right. 740-383-9944, 53 and a half minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio Time. Does anybody have any other opinions? This hour has been an hour of opinions, and that's good. We like to hear from people out there. 740-383-9944. If the line's been ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So keep on trying back. Now, the conversations this hour have really just circled around gas prices and the $15 minimum wage, which, Glenn, you having a conversation over here? My goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. Well, don't forget coming up when this show's over. He was trying to hide his conversation from me. 10 a.m. till 12 noon today, Glenn will be on with James Anderson. And then from 12:15 to 1 p.m. at Swap Shop. And Swap Shop's been picking up, right, Glenn?
Yeah, we had six callers last week.
Six callers last week. Well, see, we're getting in there. Noon, 12:15 to 1, and then the Adam the Computer Guy show today, 2:10 until 3 p.m. on this station. So what'd you make of the president's speech last night? Come on over. Let me get you on the right mic.
Best speech I've ever heard Biden give, ever.
Yeah, he did good, speaking-wise.
Yeah, I thought he was terrific at speaking. And quite frankly, I thought he was terrific at his message. So,
but
awful lot of stuff.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Of that, what do you think he can get done in 2 years?
About 10%.
10%. Well, which thing do you think he's going to go after the hardest?
It seems like right now he's pushing that family program, trying to get more money for families. And he knows darn well that if he gets money for lower-income families, they're going to spend it. Like you were saying not too long ago on the air with Adam, if they're going to get $15 an hour, they're going to spend every dime, and it'll help.
It seems like this $15 an hour is what he wants to be his legacy. I'm hearing that more than anything else.
I don't know if that's what he wants as a legacy. I think that's just part of his overall legacy, yeah.
Yeah, but he pushed this during the first coronavirus bill. It got kicked out of there, and now he's pushing it again in a kind of a pseudo State of the Union last night.
I'm a little concerned, like Adam is, about in New York, $15 an hour doesn't mean anything. In Marion, it means that you could get a living wage. In New York, $15 an hour probably isn't a living wage.
But do you think people are going to lower? I don't think anybody would lower what they're paying. If you're paying somebody in New York 20, you're not going to go backwards to 15.
Yeah, your point is good. If they're already high anyway,
what's the difference?
It's going to stay there. Yeah.
It's going to stay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, this is not meant to penalize small businesses, and I'm not even sure it would. I think what it's meant to penalize is companies like McDonald's and Walmart and Meijer, and who clearly have the money because they pay their CEOs billions of dollars, that you don't pay your employees $10.
Right. I was looking at that particular fact up the other day, what people are paid for, and there's one company, I'll let it remain nameless, has two CEOs, and they both make around $39 million a year. And I was listening also to a talking head yesterday or 2 days ago where he said, well, it might not have been a talking head, it might have been President Biden, who said that the average CEO is making 320 some times what their average employee makes.
Well, here's what I don't understand about the whole thing. Forget the politics of it. Forget who said they wanted it and forget who said they didn't want it. My question is, I've never known a country where they said, and this is direct, we're going to give everybody $15 an hour who works, and the country says, no, don't give it to us.
Yeah. It's just like Adam said, if they're going to send me 50, whatever the stimulus check is, he's going to take it.
Well, and the majority of people in this country don't make $15 an hour, right. So you think the people not making $15 an hour would be for this.
Yeah, you would.
But they're not.
Well, some of them are, some of them are not. It depends on what side of the aisle they agree with.
Well, it was just like, what was the statistic before Obamacare? People who didn't have insurance was something like 80% was not covered in the country. It was a huge number.
It was a large number. I don't remember.
But yet when they took the polls on should they do this, it was about even.
Yeah, so, and that became a very partisan thing, too.
Right, but so there were 30%. If you look at those numbers, 30% of people who had no insurance who said, don't give it to me.
Yeah, please don't give me any more money.
Don't give me any insurance. I don't understand it. Go ahead, caller. Are you there, caller? Well, call back in if that was you real quick. 740-383-9944. If that's you, call back quick before we go off the air here today. We got a couple minutes. 7403. Here we go. I think this will be that caller, and we'll see what they have to say. Go ahead, caller.
You mentioned McDonald's. A lot of these fast food places, McDonald's especially, and Wendy's and all of them, they're franchisees. And it doesn't make any difference what the CEO is making of the corporation. It's the franchisee that has put all his money in there. And, you know, one of the things they said, like up in New York, you know, would you like to upsize that to a large fry? They're not doing a skilled job, and you know he's like they said that $15 might not make a lot of difference in New York, but in Marion it does. And a lot of small businesses that maybe didn't have closing. And
well,
what have
I
you
don't...
done there? You put that guy out of business.
Well, here's what I think would happen. I first of all, I've never met a franchisee, and I know a lot of them in Marion because a lot of them own both of the franchises on each side of town. If you're talking about like Wendy's or McDonald's, they're not exactly poor, and their employees are. So, you know, you can just look at that. Yeah, they're not the CEO. They're not making billions, but they're making six figures. There's no doubt about it, in profit every year. Especially if you own a Wendy's, a McDonald's, a Burger King, a Taco Bell, something of that nature. Now, I understand the argument for small businesses, but I also know that small businesses are small because they don't make a whole lot of money. And again, I go back, I don't think people are going to save it. I don't think if you're making $10 an hour now and they bump you up to $15, I don't think those people are going to go, okay, well, let me put $5 in my savings account and never spend it. I think you might go to that small business, that neighborhood bar, that barbecue place you can't afford because they charge more than McDonald's because they are a small business. You might go eat there with your family of five because now you have the money to do it, the disposable income.
Do you remember back in 2015 when the minimum wage went to $7.50 an hour, and all your value meals that were $3 all of a sudden went to $5? And who have you helped? You try and raise the middle class, but all you did was make them pay more for what they were getting before. And
I don't think
bother the people with making more.
I don't think McDonald's, I don't think it hurt their business. I haven't seen any McDonald's without
a
business.
I'm not saying it hurt their business. I'm saying that the people you tried to help by giving them a raise, they ended up paying more than they were what they were getting before.
Your value went up
$2, the people that could afford it, it didn't make any difference to.
They don't have to go to McDonald's. They can go to Aldi.
Aldi doesn't have prepared food.
Well, why do you have to have prepared food? You can go buy a microwave if you're making extra money.
But you're missing the whole point.
No, I understand you're saying prices are going
to... trying to raise the middle class. Well, if you were paying $3 for a value meal at $6 an hour, now you're paying $5 for that value meal, and you're making $7... you're ending up a dollar short.
You know, my guess is just like the auto industry, the American auto industry would tell you, there is a price that Americans are not going to pay above. They'll stop
that
buying
American. That was one thing that I was selling automobiles back in 1967, 68, and a new car cost $3,000. And now they're over $40,000 because the average wage and benefit package of the people in Detroit is $150 an hour. You got people making $30 to $35 an hour building the cars, and you got people making $15 and less trying to buy the car.
You know who got rich in that whole scheme when the unions were taken out and the car plants were sent to other countries? It wasn't the people who owned those plants. They ended up losing somewhat. It was the people who made Hondas, because Honda came in and said, well, we'll sell at a much lower rate and our car's better. It'll run longer and faster than your car. And there are more Hondas on the road today, I think, than any other car. So now you've got a foreign business that outdid the American business. And maybe if you had paid the American worker more, those union people, they could have went out and bought American cars and been very happy. You know, if you work at the Buick plant, you're likely to drive a Buick, because you have pride in your work. If you're unhappy with the plant, probably not.
Well, the people there, the people that make the laws have forced Toyota, Honda, Subaru, all these people to put 80% of American-built products in the car, and they don't hold Detroit to that same thing.
Well, you
because
know,
a lot of the stuff for the car in Detroit comes from other countries. A lot of us in Canada.
Well, I'm out of time for today, but we can continue tomorrow. Thanks for calling. And Glenn Coble's up in about 15 minutes. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Received contact.
It's now time for the obituary report on WWGH Radio.
Janet R. Hendel, age 80, of Marion, passed away on April 27th at Marion General Hospital. She is survived by her daughters, sister, grandson, and great-grandchildren. Visitation will take place on Monday, May 3rd at the Snyder Funeral Home, 360 East